So, yeah, this is me speaking again in whatever shitcast podcast. Yeah, yeah, well, Schläger here. So, I just want to say this could be Table Set Yourself number 4, but I don't even care. This could be a private podcast. It could be whatever. It could go out anywhere or nowhere into the whole ether, the ethernet, through ethernet cables. And I want to say this. This is me, myself, Simon, talking again. I wanted to read a love letter because I thought, well, there's this girl, doesn't matter who, but just one girl. I felt like I can't talk to her now in real life. Therefore, I can talk to her here. And I thought about these all those years since 3 years back when I started my first job, and that job also gave me the real self-determination to feel I can speak up and man up and whatever, just be a speaker here on my podcast. And yeah, I felt that 3 years, but I didn't popularize it. It still doesn't have a lot of listeners. I don't even bother to look at the downloads, but I just want to keep it for myself because it's so secret, so revolutionary. Nobody can know about this secret program. It's to train this elite force of communists. And yeah, although we communists, we should be in touch with the people, with the plebs. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right on one hand, but on the other hand, you also have to distance yourself and say, whatever, yo, this is das niedere Volk, common people, gemeine Volk. This is the common people, and we gotta educate ourselves without them interfering, without them disturbing us. We're doing some hard thinking here, hard theorizing. So sorry, dear people, and you will also, or not also, you will be the main profiteers from our revolution, but somebody has to carry it out, right? And we just can't be disturbed all the time by the people. So therefore, we, the elite Bolshevik force, we have to educate ourselves in secret, on secret channels and secret podcasts. And that's my point. So I just thought this, that now I finally realize also this has yet another upside, this secretness, that I can speak to a girl I felt enchanted by, and yeah, not feel so compelled and not feel like I'm talking to so many people and they're all gonna hear about my love affairs. Yeah, of course you could, all if it becomes more popular later, but it doesn't even matter because love is the greatest affair of all and the greatest political affair also, in my opinion. Politics, what is this really? It's just this thing, just this word to describe everything in as if in substance, yeah, it's about everything. It's about organizing everyday life and human interaction and what we do, how we produce. And this production is so joyful. If you feel it, like me, when I'm coding, I'm working there at my desk. And yeah, it's a nice thing to do. And I wouldn't even have the discipline, nor the will, nor the power to get up every morning and to just work for myself if I didn't have that job, if I didn't really have to go there and work for us. But just, it's the wrong kind of force in capitalism, the capitalist force. But in socialism, there will still be the force and the need to work. And yeah, you'll need to work, but it's going to be much more humane. And also, people who can't or don't want to work so much will not be stigmatized like today. But more importantly, that we get work to anyone who wants and who is able, capable of doing it. And also to get those working jobs to be more joyful, more pleasant. Like, yeah, these kind of jobs where you at least have a varying task. You don't do the same stuff every day. Like in my job as a programmer, yeah, I think that those jobs are really good, but just thinking, as a Marxist, you always have to look on the whole production, system, the production, whatever. And those vendors often think in supermarkets, well, supermarkets could be a little, yeah, boring also, but mainly in bakeries, I think, oh my God, if I had to stand there 8 hours in shift and every day just handing out baking goods, well, would be not so pleasant. But on the other hand, you also could say, yeah, there you see a smile on the face of your clients and at least some real human interaction. But whatever, I'm drifting off, wandering off, and I want to keep it concise and precise today to say, yeah, well, whatever, I thought this about my podcast, that I'm in a desperate or not so desperate situation now with this girl. And she's a girl. I should have sent her that love letter, I feel. Oh yeah, I always lose, oh my God, lose track. Because I think I wanted to say something more about revolution and socialism. And yeah, but it doesn't matter, as I said, the real politics is here in the love area there, right? And yeah, about that, that's so difficult it feels, but on the other hand, who knows, maybe it's not even that difficult. Who can know that? You have to find out this truth from a perspective of the two individuals that compose this perfect love entity. It's one subject, one being of love. Well, with that I'm just referring some philosophical positions from Badiou or some French philosopher, but to be really precise and concise here, I should have sent her that letter long ago, on Christmas, I think it was when I wrote it up, and I was in my family home with my grandparents, and there you feel, maybe you feel this, that's the kind of breeding center for love, because in the family, I don't know how I feel there, but yeah, and I was writing that up, but never sent it, and instead sent her another text I wrote just 4 days later on New Year's Eve. And that text was a little different, but it was the love letter, and I don't even know it. This text was just not good, or not good enough. It's not up to my standards. And yeah, was thinking about this. Let's get this out. This fucking letter. I mean, yeah. Why couldn't I get it? Let's analyze here and see what we get there. La la la. Yeah, I just want to push myself further, see how far I can go, because I was talking about those November casts, those private podcasts from November, not the official English podcast, Me and My People, of course. This Me and My People episode is so good, it's not good to it's not good to tell yourself you made a good job, but okay, I can tell it to myself, just... yeah, you also have to be narcissistic. That was a thought I had 2 weeks ago. You have to be narcissistic, especially in love, because you want to give the other one a present, and that present is you. But if there's no flesh on the bones, metaphorically speaking, this flesh on your your mind, then what are you gonna give this other person? I mean, just being a little narcissistic, like me here, talking like this, and... it helps, I think, to offer the other person something about you, and yeah, give them this flesh. Yes, yeah, it's like flesh. It's like you have something to grasp, so you can fall in love, so you can imagine other things. Yeah, love is always related to imagination, but it also needs a real basis, needs only some fragments and some real fragments that you show, and then you can construct this imaginary thing around this. Imagine, it's almost the same as vagina, right? But people just want to do a good podcast, because I realized I didn't do a good podcast for a month now. The last German official podcast I recorded was in November, 6 months ago. And now I went to this difficult process, personal problems and stuff, but it doesn't matter. Here, I want to keep it private, and therefore also I felt like, oh yeah, there's no love, there's no chance to podcast. So it's no reason to be that narcissistic. Who should I give this to? For whom should I be this gift? Also, therefore, I couldn't grab the mic, but I did these English podcasts, I think, in January, at least that. And apart from that, I only recorded some private podcasts all these months. And private podcasts that are not as nearly as good as those November casts. Those are the real private podcasts there. And why were they so good? That's the big question. I don't know if I'm going to publish them, but maybe just one of them, the Z-Cast. Z-Cast is like ZK, Zentralkomitee. It's a communist organ, but never mind. Z-Cast, Castlecast, as I said, or Litcast, those are the three private casts. But why were they so good? Because I told myself in Litcast number 6, oh, well, you already made a couple of recordings, private recordings, but when I listen to them, they just are never quite that good as the real official Tischlein Deck Dich podcast. Or also my English or Spanish official podcast. But that's the decisive thing, that it has to be public. You have to feel that other people are gonna hear it, other people you care about, and even people like, yeah, this podcaster Stefan, it's a big role model, he and his podcast, Aufwachen Podcast, Stefan and Thilo Jung, Stefan Schulz and Thilo Jung, even they could be listening to my podcast. That gives me that strength. Or also friends, but I think mainly this podcaster, because Stefan is really such a big role model or whatever for me. And yet, only this feeling he could be listening. This puts me in a wholly different mental place and lets me feel like I want to speak up. I have to be the brightest podcaster in the podcast universe. And I have to demonstrate to him that I'm a legitimate son of his podcast. He was breeding also these podcast children. And I am the heritage. Yeah, I heritated his mental power, his power of thought. Right. I want to demonstrate that I'm a validated, that I go on with the legacy of Aufwachen Podcast, and that I am proud and treu and loyal, and yeah. And this explanation, I find this quite outstanding, to demonstrate also that my thesis is this thesis that there's no real difference between love and friendship. And with him, you might say, yeah, it's this deep feeling of affection, more on a friendship way, but also of intellectual admiration, of course, or professional admiration, becoming a podcaster. What is that really? Defining your identity through this. It's a great thing, great stuff to talk like this, and this I learned from him. And yeah, there's no big difference, only the difference is that for love you have to pay a little more. This is the metaphor I like to use, that it's like when you go to some bathing house, swimming pool, there's always a basic fee you have to pay to enter, to go to the swimming pool. Now in Germany we have a lot of sauna. And then, if they have a sauna, most times it's like this, that you have to pay an additional fee, and then you can go in there. But there's no sauna without the swimming pool. That's the paradoxical thing. Of course, I I like rather going to sauna, but doesn't matter. And yeah, exactly the same occurs in love. I also like more even the second path than the friendship path, but or maybe, or I don't know what I want, or really, but don't take this all too seriously, people. But what I want to say is that I like interacting with women and feel also it's so much more genuine and natural and whatever than with men. And I like this, and also if there's an erotic tension, also, especially then, of course, but also just it doesn't always have to do with love. It doesn't have to be that way that you always think about love and think about, yeah, this could be a person I could fall in love to or could sleep with. No, it's good to fall in love to various persons. Of course, that's my position as polyamorous, totally pro polyamorous, but fall in love or also have sex with different persons, totally would be a great thing. I think is a moral and ethical thing to do, but still, of course, not with every person. This is just for practical reasons not possible. And what I wanted to express was this, that I like to talk to women and would like to be even more genuine. Feel kind of like, yeah, this erotic tension all every time is interfering and is inhibiting me, and it's not that good. But yeah, now let's close up this metaphor. Yeah, you go into the swimming pool or sauna, you have to decide, and then you have to decide if you want to pay this additional fee. Yeah, I want to pay it, but okay, maybe this metaphor is not perfect, but I found it quite fitting when I first thought about it a couple of weeks ago when I went to a sauna here. Oh man, it's still so cold here in April. It's still a good idea to go there, heat up a little. And yeah, here in Germany, you should be naked in the sauna, but many people there, they don't even, yeah, they're so shameful, as is normal today in those reactionary times. People don't even dare to get naked. Even in the sauna, they put around their towels. And of course, this is a behavior you would more expect in the US, such a, US verklempt or, yeah, inhibited, uptight. Yeah, it's such an uptight country, of course, if you think about the social realities and not about the media talk and the discourse. And but yeah, still, I think it's not that bad. The US is a country I highly admire, and also, as I highlighted, in this social sense that I admire the people and how they're talking and so self-confident. That's exactly what I want to be here. And yeah, so people, I think I've made my point about love and friendship, yeah. And I feel like, yeah, I'm talking quite good today, and I don't even know why, but I'm a little desperate because of this situation. I want to, with this girl, I mean, yeah, I also wanted to be friends with her and thought, oh man, this could happen, but then I didn't know what I was feeling or wanting, and then thought, oh yeah, could, but it also could be love. And then, oh, but then I talked to or wrote her about my podcast, and she said, oh no, that's so this whatever discouraged communism and said, well, communism can't work and stuff. And but I don't mind, I don't feel really rejected for this, because I didn't even make a real effort to go into the love direction. I was, yeah, talking about my podcast and this and that, and oh my god, forgot the most important point was this love letter. And then she just said, oh no, please don't write me again. And since then we didn't talk even, and this feels so bad now. Oh, feels like part of me is missing. I was thinking about this metaphor I feel is just perfect, that after World War One there were so many soldiers with parts of their bodies missing, like both legs, missing arms, missing. And exactly the same way, I think I feel now since a couple of months back when we last talked, because, yeah, this is also missing. This was such a nice entertainment every time I stepped by her and we were chatting there at work, and made my day so much better and brighter. And then and it was just part of me. I was falling asleep and at night, and already looking forward the next day. I knew I could see her face and she would be smiling like this again, and this was so. And now it feels a little like a part of me is missing, is gone, and this phantom pain, let's say. But okay, I think it's gonna be all right? In love, because in love, or also in friendship. Also, friendships can be that complicated, I think. Yeah, but in love or in friendship, you wanna. You also want the drama. I talked about this in episode 100 when I was, for only a short time, separated from my then girlfriend, and I explained that it's always a stereotype about women to say, "Oh yeah, women, they're drama queens." But I already back then said, "Oh no, I also totally want to be a drama queen, and I feel that it's also something pleasant in love to feel hurt or to hold on to some wound that you know you should or could get over, but you grasp onto it and think about this special person, this relationship that ended." And this is love and drama and trauma also, maybe. Yeah. So there's nothing more to say, I think. I don't even know if I can publish this episode, or it's gonna be too personal, but I felt like this a couple of days ago. Yeah, it came to my mind. Yeah, I could read that letter because I wrote it up, and now can't even send it to her, or don't know what to do because she said she didn't want me to write her again. Or yeah, and want to find. Give me a second to find this here, and then we can go on and hopefully move on with my life. And here we go. Yeah, I think that's it. Bits and bytes. So let's move on. Let's begin with this letter, or I don't even know if it's a good idea to do this. Yeah, but feel. Oh man, this is too much. Oh God. Feels like I didn't say the most crucial parts here. But okay, let's begin. After a certain time, I felt like I was enchanted by you, slowly falling in love a bit. And I like this a bit because it refers also to my profession in computer science. Yeah, it's a bit that flipped, like in a database, there's all those database columns, and if it's a Boolean column, you can flip the bit. But okay, Boolean is not exactly the same as a bit, and I don't really get to understand the difference, because a bit is 0 or 1, but a Boolean is true or false. It can be used as the same, but it isn't the same kind of data. It's binary logic. I wanted to get past this and this being gender fluid, but okay, this bit was flipped, so apparently. Or maybe this enchantment took place already in our first conversations in September. Who knows? Love and desire is such a complicated topic that I also try to explore philosophically in my podcast, but never quite get to define it. because of this feeling every time it felt harder to talk to you, but still I felt like I needed to do it at any cost, and I waited for a sign from you that you also valued this beginning friendship. Of course, the fact that we were both in a relationship made this even more confusing. However, as a communist, I think also love, romantic feelings, gestures, and sex should be shared among individuals and not be locked into a fixed relationship. I feel like this text is, at least it's better than the other text that I said. Yeah. It's acceptable, let's say, yeah. That was also the problematic topic with my ex-girlfriend. We were officially separated since a few weeks. She couldn't accept my views, and that's okay. Still, I hope we can find together again, but that's not sure. Anyway, I would like to have a friendship with you, although it's complicated because of this feeling. This underlying love feeling. But I don't think this can be the solution to block off any friendship possibility only because there are more complicated feelings. What kind of concept of love is this when you need to suppress and end relations to other persons in order to safeguard the holy monogamous bond between the two exclusive lovers? You know, exactly. I found this so, it's such a perversion really of human relationships. If you, and it's normal to see today, as I observe in all of my friends, they can't think outside the box. Even my brother was like this. Even he tried to be polyamorous once, and yeah, maybe it went a little in that direction, but even for him it's very hard. And all my other friends, they couldn't even imagine that, and they couldn't believe it. I was that I went so far as to go into Bumble, this dating app, and write it into my profile. Like, one friend asked, "Oh my God, did you put that into your profile? How can you? How dare you?" Well, yeah, all the girls are going to put you in the box, in their box, in this category. Oh, it's that kind of boy, right? It's an easy boy, whatever. Yeah, but okay. So let's say that we're in this reactionary framework, very deeply reactionary time, and it's so hard or impossible to even achieve a mental clearness about your own desires and objectives. And if you don't have that, you're gonna slip back into the old habits, the habits that society brings to you, the traditions, and you will accept that and think it's your own desire, your own will, and asking yourself, oh my God, why? Why, if I'm following the rules, like I'm a rule follower, or it's what John C. Dvorak, always said, if you follow, why doesn't this lead to a happy or fulfilled life? But okay, and yeah, this is not fault of the individuals. Therefore, I said this, yeah, dear people, we gotta bring about revolution, because all of these underlying problems also have to do with the economic base of society. We gotta do that, but in order to do that, we gotta really be serious and be talking here in our inner communist circles and not joking around with the plebeian masses. So, where was I? That this is a real perversion if you have to say, well, you can't be friends with that other female person for me because I wouldn't want to endanger my relationship with my girlfriend. This just, I mean, no, it's not acceptable, such thinking for me. And this, wow, only the deepest, most astounding expression of where we are in this reactionary time, of how deep the problems are, that love is this one thing that can make you feel whole and save against this bourgeois world where you are only a thing, a good, like a supermarket good, yeah, but you also, you as a person are exactly this, because you have to sell your working force, your time and your workforce, and yeah, you feel betrayed already. You feel like this can't be your life or your world. But in love, then you say, this is one exception in life, or this one process that can heal all the wounds. And therefore, it's so important to stick to that one person, and that there occurs no betrayal, no love feelings towards another person. But for me, yeah, it's hard to express that or to say that, but for me it's more important to prove that this kind of polyamorous love is possible than to actually love. Therefore also this felt powerful, this other English episodes, because yeah, that was already a proof, and maybe it cost my relationship, I don't know. It wasn't the crucial thing, separation with my ex-girlfriend, doesn't matter. But even if it was, I feel like it's still worth it, because I loved my ex-girlfriend, but yeah, in the end I feel like I'm compelled to the theory, I'm a theoretician, and it's the most important thing. And if that's in the way of our relationship, yeah, sorry, it's our choice, but I feel nothing can be so important then that you would change your thoughts or bend yourself or your beliefs, you know, to be with that other person. But okay, and yeah, let's move on. But I think was the topic I wanted to express, that love is this one extraordinary good that can make you feel so good, and therefore it has to be safeguarded. And so traumatic to think your lover could be touching or thinking about feeling something for a third person. And yeah, it is traumatic also for me, imagining my girl or girls could be in love, or I don't know, thinking about other boys. Oh my god, what a bit. And yeah, this is good to express. It's something that maybe can't be totally, it's a feeling that can't be avoided totally, but my important point is only that feeling is exactly the same that I have now. It doesn't matter if that betrayal is real or is imaginary, it's the same feeling you can have at the start of a relationship about the past lovers of that person, of your now to be partner. They feel also jealous about his or her past love partners. And yeah, this is totally imaginary and paradoxical, you could say, irrational, but it's a real feeling. And what to do about it? Well, yeah, gotta talk about it, or also see what you should or could tell your partner. Or maybe it's even better to keep it in the secret. Not every lie is a betrayal or a black lie. There's different kinds of lies. That's also the thesis of Robert Faller, this Austrian philosopher that we get into now. We go on reading this letter here. Yeah, holy monogamous bond. More complicated. Yeah, safeguards. Okay, this idea of only being able to love one person at a time is also deeply reactionary. And as this Austrian philosopher I mentioned another text, Robert Faller, pointed out, these kinds of manners become more common nowadays. He explains this with the brutality of capitalism. Even here in the rich part of Europe, young people are so desperate and frightened of the future. This world seems so insecure and vast that if only they can fit into the capitalist labor market and find a job, they see this as enough competition and fighting for a lifetime and want to return to traditional values in the private sphere. In my view, we should move forward to polygamy and polyamorous relationships in the private field, but stick to the traditional values and theories laid out by Marx and practiced by the pioneering Bolsheviks, the engineers of society. We have to reject the free markets of consumer good production and reach socialism. The only alternative would be the end of humanity, as it seems pretty near today, or the return of fascism. Yeah, I feel now a little stupid here for not sending this and sending instead another text that was not as clear and not as concise as this one, and I don't know. But I'm like Lenin also. I read about him that he's was a graphomaniac. He had the need, the desire, the compulsive behavior of writing like 2 articles a day. I want to look that up. And I feel like this. Yeah, I need to write at any cost. And graphomaniac. Yeah, but okay. I don't know if I can keep going on, but let's try. Let's try. It's now we went through. Oh no, this was not. Yeah, let's keep on moving, see how far we can get. You know, I thought maybe you felt this too. I don't say that it's love. It's a preliminary step of falling in love. And I like it so much, although it brings me into lots of trouble with my girlfriend. Last year, when I really got into podcasting, the topic of love was the one I wanted to explore in depth by reading from philosophical books, establishing my own thoughts, and so on. I discovered this gift of being able to talk that much and was surprised by myself, so I felt like keeping the podcast to myself, not making a lot of publicity. Only to some other podcasters I admire, I reached out. But the topics and thoughts I explored were too hot, I felt, for being exposed too early to a large public. I wanted to let grow my own thoughts on it and then see what happened. Until today I'm in this situation of not really having lots of listeners and interactions with comments of listeners. This year I shifted from love to politics. Last year in September I met my girlfriend and I got the impression it was better to live love practically and stop talking about it. This decision might have been a mistake, because now every now and then the topic flings into my discourse and comes to the surface, although I want to talk strictly about politics. But love and politics is also interlaced. My thoughts are sporadic and wild. But one major theory I'm working on is that of love communism. Yeah, that got me only thinking about Eminem and his beautiful rap work, Till I Collapse. I played this song in my podcast number 49, and it's the perfect song for describing the feeling you get when you're behind the mic and you feel so powerful. And oh yeah, Till I Collapse. And he said, yeah, my thoughts are sporadic, I act like I'm an addict. And yeah, I'm an actual addict, but podcast addict, but also weed and other stuff, love stuff, or yeah. And this is a great song. Maybe I could play it, but let's keep on moving. Love communism, or sex communism, whatever. Whatever the case, with my girlfriend it was a harmonic relationship, also because we coincide on many political views, because she comes from a revolutionary family in Peru and was always out there protesting in the streets. Well, okay, but not everyone has to be that into politics. However harmonic it was, after reading Robert Faller and his thoughts on love and monogamy, I felt sharply the perfect love relationship had to be open to other experiences. Because whatever that experience is, you never know up front. It could be love, a friendship or an affair, a romantic passion restricted to some time period. This point of Pfaller also deeply impressed me, that as he puts it, we should not think so little of an affair, as if it was something unmoral, but it is also an art and could be just as deep love as the love experienced in a fixed relationship. Who is to say which of them is real love? Why not both? That was also the claim of Daisy, a fictional character in the novel The Great Gatsby by the American writer Fitzgerald. When confronted with an aggressive situation, with both her husband and her lover demanding a definite decision from her, she said firmly that she loved them both. And this honesty in this field of complicated emotional entanglements is so magnificent. Exactly, I think we can leave it there. Also get more personal here. We'll see how we can, if we can entangle here next time or whatever, people. But gotta add one comment for here and then that's fine because I feel tired. About Daisy, yeah, it was a great Gatsby, it's a good book. I read it in Argentina in school in my English. Our English teacher was also a German teacher because it was a German school. And not all teachers were German, but just half of them. And this girl or woman from Germany taught us about Fitzgerald and his Great Gatsby. It was a great experience. But I found this one scene so compelling, so important emotionally, so staggering. This scene when Daisy says this, yeah, she loves them both, and even although her husband is a drunk, he's an alcoholic, he's doesn't treat her well, even beats her, I think, and then this other one, the lover is Gatsby, but she doesn't know how to decide, and that's so great, and that's the way I feel about love also, that this is true love, and who's to say, who can say this is not true love, this is not. Now, this thing I mentioned about Pfaller, an affair, well, okay, you could say it's betrayal, it hurts the other person, but people, what is real love, who is to say, and why couldn't it both be love? Someone is looking for something outside his first relationship, and Pfaller calls this second world. Second world is the title of his book. It's a imaginary world where you can live the dreams and concepts maybe you didn't dare to live in the first world. And the second world could be also totally imaginary. It doesn't have to be a real love affair. It's a place you can flee to. You can flee when you feel you can't support, you can't be in the first world anymore, and you have to get out of it, and then you can go there, and it's becoming unbearable. But this two worlds could coexist and could be connected, like in dialectics. But with that, I think I've said enough, or too much, or not enough, but whatever the case, I think it's a perfect time to stop, because also this Me and My People, this perfect episode was exactly this length, I think, had exactly this length of 46, 47 minutes. And with that, I thank you for your courage and say, be courageous, be courageous, or don't be coward, right? You can't love if you're so coward, because coward. But what is cowardice really? In my view, in my opinion, cowardice is monogamy, is this concept of monogamous unary love. Also in that sense, we have to get past this binary options. Binary. Can't be all binary, right? That only two persons can be part of a relationship. With that, I say thanks for listening, and goodbye, and good luck, and get lucky. Right. Ciao, ciao.